Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. I had this really old, crappy Nissan Micra that I was sharing with a friend. At the time, we had no idea how to work on cars.
Yeah.
Absolutely none. So we got our mechanic friend to turbocharge this car for us.
Really? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Autilex podcast, home of automotive financial mistakes, our life in cars, weekly car hunts. Got to say that quite slowly. Car news and interviews with special guests. This week, you join Rory and I with TikTok star and YouTube rising star Jack McNeil to talk about his passion for all things left field and the path that he's taken to make YouTube his full-time job. Jack, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm very well.
We've seen quite a lot of each other recently, haven't we?
I know we have. We've done a video recently.
We have, yeah, which will be coming out very soon. Very excited. But you're doing well?
Yes, very well.
And looking well. And you've turned up in a rather spicy car.
Yes, I have, in my Honda Jazz.
Honda Jazz.
With a spicy engine.
With a spicy engine, which we will get to in a minute. Because before that, what have we all been up to? Rory, let's get started with you. What have you been up to?
I've been trying to fix my Aston Martin.
Oh, is it broken again?
No, it wasn't broken.
Mm-hmm.
Just the windows didn't want to go up or down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which turns out, I don't know if you've had this, Jack.
Also has an Aston Martin. What is it, a V8 Vantage? Yeah,
the best car in the world, yes.
Yeah, right. Okay. I will actually agree with you there.
Yeah,
it is the best car in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did you not turn up in it, Jack?
I didn't want to get it dirty.
Right, okay, no, that's fair.
I see Rory doesn't really have that.
What are you trying to say, Jack?
Rory doesn't clean his cars.
It's a beaten up daily. That's what it's used for.
Oh, God, yeah. God, the amount of money that you have that just flows through your veins.
Yeah. Or more like I live on a farm
and
there's a lot of mud on the roads.
And you don't clean your car, so why would you?
Plus,
it looks better and it is a bit beaten up, isn't it? Like the grill, there's things in this thing.
It was cheap.
Yeah.
I bought it at an auction.
Yeah.
It was a good deal.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever actually said that I bought it at an auction. But no. I bought it at an auction.
Copart.
Yeah.
It wasn't Copart.
No.
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 It's a very nice car, but it's very filthy.
But yeah, the windows weren't going up or down.
Mm.
So turns out, again, checked on the internet.
Yeah.
Just says to swap the fuses around for the left and the right one, door modules. Swap them around. Sure enough, started working.
Well, both windows
I'll take note. Yeah. You'll find out about this.
Yeah.
And there was something, Jack, that you mentioned earlier, fuse 22.
Yes, fuse 22. It's a secret little fuse you can remove. And it constantly opens the valves and makes it sound really nice.
Is that like in the book pack of Aston Martin ownership?
No.
You're part of the Fuse 22 cult.
I don't think you are, I don't know, it's not classy enough to remove it as an Aston Martin owner, probably. Right.
No. You have your man remove it for you?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Because when it hits 4,000 RPM, the valve opens on its own.
When
it's adequate.
Oh, yes.
So you can stroll around the streets.
Oh, fantastic.
And have a quiet exhaust.
Yes.
But when you want to accelerate.
Yes.
Then.
Yes.
At 4,000 RPM.
Yes.
It opens up.
Oh.
And it roars.
Wow. That's like the shittest version, like impression of David Attenborough I've ever heard.
Was that the stereotypical Aston Martin? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So car's now fixed.
Car's fixed.
You're going to get it cleaned?
I will get it cleaned.
All right, okay.
And
I've
had my Spitfire transported down here.
You have. I've turned up today. I've seen a Spitfire. What's going on with that?
So that was actually parked outside my house for the last 6 months because we're still waiting for you to get your car sorted.
That's happening.
Yeah.
Progress is being made.
I had a conversation. Yeah.
And they said, we're gonna be working on it, bastard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you may remember we did a classic car challenge where I had a Triumph Spitfire. Yes. Taylor had a classic Mini.
And I bought the best car.
Alex, you bought a
VW T25, aka Betty.
Incorrect. You bought a rusty.
Yeah, it's classic.
Rusty classic.
It's not like structural though.
Yeah.
Because the rust was done for the MOT previously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a few little patches here and there. Like 20 minute job. Cut out a little bit, fabricate that little bit.
You could put your fist through the side of the car.
Mm.
You do like buying rusty cars.
All right, calm down. We're all having a laugh here, Jack. But yeah, it's a bit shit.
Yeah.
But they're going to fix it, so that's all right.
All right.
And they is Yorkshire Car Restoration, by the way.
But speaking of rust, I now need a new boot lid and probably a sill.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Turns out, didn't like being outside for 6 months during winter.
You didn't park it underneath
Just left it outside.
Bubbles?
Nope. No, it was outside.
God, you're a really shitty car owner. I
don't have a garage.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have that luxury.
Yeah, I don't have a garage, but I've got 7 cars.
Sorry.
I have a garage, man. And yes, I have more than 7 cars. And yes, most of them are outside.
Yes, okay.
The nice ones are inside.
Okay. But yeah, I'm getting my Spitfire finally sorted. And it's going to be painted a new colour.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know what colour. But it will be painted a new one.
Like lime green or something.
No.
Be a bit different.
No.
Okay.
I was thinking like an oxblood red sort of.
Oxblood red, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're thinking is Master Soul red, isn't it?
No.
Because it's quite a close. If I turn around and have a look at Phil. God, he needs a clean as well. And if I have a look at our Chesterfield sofas, they're very similar in colour.
Phil, I think, is a bit too metallic-y for what I want, though, because it's still a classic car at the end of the day.
Okay, you want it to look a bit shit.
No, a bit flat.
Flat, okay.
Flat.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, but other than that, that's what I've been up to.
Okay, nice. Yeah. And again, no broken bones from your skiing trip?
No, I'm still okay from that.
Maybe you want to go skiing again, maybe?
What's wrong with that? I bet you Jack skis.
Okay. I have been skiing.
Yeah, there we go.
Are you a skier?
Yeah, I'm a skier.
I'm a snowboarder.
Yeah, buddy. Oh yeah, cool kids. Cool kids on the Chesterfield, baby.
What is wrong with you two?
Well, we're cool, man.
Snowboarding is way cooler.
Yeah, it is way cooler.
You say that. Until you're there, and you want to, you come to a little bit of flat.
Oh yeah, it's bullshit. Yeah, when you
and then you're the uncoolest people in the world because you're there like, okay, I'm trying to go along like a skateboard.
You can do the freaking wiggle.
I can't do the wiggle.
You can't do the wiggle.
No, I don't do the wiggle. Do you wiggle? No,
yeah, I can do.
Show me how you wiggle.
I think I'm gonna pause now. But no, yeah, snowboard.
Do you know what we need as snowboarders? Is ski poles.
This is true.
The skiers don't need the poles because they can reverse snowplow up. We will just nick your poles.
Maybe you
should
try this next time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm going to reinvent the sport and just nick people's poles.
Maybe instead of taking Taylor skiing,
yes,
we should take him snowboarding.
Oh, that would be brilliant. Has he ever been before?
We took him skiing for the first time and he was terrible.
Yeah.
Like everybody's terrible at
football. He was terrible.
Yeah.
He was so bad that he couldn't even get down to the actual first lift. To then get back up again. So we had to walk back up the mountain.
No, he had to walk back up the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
He fell over and then after like 3 falls, he just couldn't get up.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm done, I'm going.
But snowboarding.
Yeah, good.
No, that's very good. Snowboarding's a lot more difficult to pick up, I think.
Mm.
It'd be more entertaining, actually.
This is what I'm thinking, Jack.
Should we put him on like a race snowboard?
Oh.
And it just can't fall down. And he just goes down the mountain at like 60 odd.
Well, you can actually get a ski, which is like a mono ski.
Yeah.
And it's like about, I don't know.
Is that the one you sit on?
No. Oh. You still stand, but your feet are both strapped into one ski.
Oh. Oh, that sounds dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put him on that. That's a really good idea. Yeah. Jack, what about you? What have you been up to recently?
I have been up to trying to build a Toyota Serra, a very interesting car.
Yeah.
A very interesting car with a very interesting fact about it, actually.
Ooh,
it is
on.
The car which inspired the doors for the McLaren F1. Which
really?
It's a bit of a claim to fame. It's a Toyota as well.
Yeah. For people who don't know what the Serra is, explain.
So it's essentially a Japanese car. It was only ever sold in Japan, I believe. It's really cool. It's got a very quirky 90s Japanese interior. And I bought it because under the skin, it is basically a Toyota Starlet, which, as we all know, we probably see them on the roads.
Yeah.
Actually, they're probably getting a bit more rare now.
Oh, very rare. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's this Toyota Starlet underneath. So you can basically put the Glanza engine, which is the spicy Starlet. You can put that engine in the Serra with the doors, which inspired the McLaren F1. That's sort of the plan.
Fantastic. And so that would be quite powerful, quite lightweight.
Yeah, it will be, hopefully. Ooh. It's a pretty light car and hopefully will be pushing over 200 horsepower by the end. But I've had some problems with the engines. I bought 2 engines and both of them were shagged.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Anything else?
Just being.
It can be outside YouTube life. It doesn't have to be about your life.
Honestly, the last month YouTube has been my life.
Okay. Did you take a rather harrowing poo this morning, for example?
Not this morning, actually.
You know the type where you're like, oh, phew, I'm surprised I survived that one.
I no.
Okay.
No.
Hit 40.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jack.
No. Yeah, no. No, yeah, not quite. But
Jack's there in his mind, why have I come on this?
Should have prepared myself better. But no, so I've also filmed a video at Santa Pod racing up and down the strip in the in the Fox GTI. So
fantastic.
Been racing against some hot hatches and have successfully beaten a few. So
really?
Very proud of the car. But yeah, that's literally it. Just filming videos, getting content done. Oh, and
yeah.
I've got a Rory, Alex.
No, you haven't.
I have, well, he's a Rory in training, I'd say.
Oh, okay. We're not talking about a robotic vacuum cleaner.
Oh, no.
Because they're really expensive.
No, yeah.
Actually, why am I talking about? These Rorys are also very expensive. So talk to me about your Rory.
So I have employed a good friend of mine, from childhood, and we are now working together on YouTube stuff.
When Jack McNeil says friend from childhood, he probably means like 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You're quite young.
I'm not that young.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
Jesus.
How old are you, Rory?
I'm 31.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, you're 31?
Yeah.
Same. Shit, I thought you were in your 20s.
You thought that was in its 20s?
I'm you very youthful looking.
Oh, God, maybe I am a child in comparison.
Oh, so you finally decided to, so is this you like leveling up your YouTube game then?
Yeah, it's being able to, because you know, at the minute I do, you know, all the spannering on the cars, I do all of the editing, all the thumbnail making. I basically do everything which goes into a YouTube video. So I just thought to get my content consistent, because it's not currently consistent. And that's obviously, as you guys will know, the key to being able to do this as a full-time job and all that. I thought, you know, I need someone to help me with not only the filming, but also all the brand deals and all of that sort of thing. And also editing the second channel videos. So it's a bit of a big step up in responsibility and all that stuff. But no, I'm really looking forward to the next few months, because it's hopefully we should be able to.
And you rubber well along together?
Oh yeah. I mean, we've been mates for, you know, 3 months ago. So no, no, we've been mates since we were literally in nursery. So, you know, we get on well.
Good.
And hopefully it goes well.
Yeah, nice. I remember the first thing I actually said to you, and
Javier, Spanish.
Javier was, you will argue. You'll argue a lot, but it'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there'll be some bumps in the road, but.
Yeah, oh, bumps.
No, we've never argued. We've never argued at all.
I wouldn't call them bumps. I'd call them brick walls. Yeah. And lorries coming the other direction that you just crash into. You just got to smash
through. All right.
But here we are.
Yeah.
We're doing well.
Still alive.
What is it Rianne says when I get back from work? I'm like, how was your day? She's like, surviving, not thriving. I'm like, yeah, mum life. Any more to add?
I'd say that's all.
I mean, that's quite a lot.
I'd say that's probably it for now.
Okay, but, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. If you think of anything, just feel free to interrupt. As for me, I've been at home a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Been having some good time. Went to Kew Gardens last week, which was very nice. Like, beautiful day. Kew Gardens to get in, right, for a family, it's £50.
What?
£50, man.
See, this is why I don't live near London, because I just walk outside and then there's gardens.
Yeah, but you don't have Kew Gardens. But then you can like go on a podcast and say, I've been to Kew Gardens.
Oh, okay.
Whereas you just say, I went in my garden. I was like, oh, no one cares. Kew Gardens is very nice. Have you been to Kew Gardens?
I don't know what Kew Gardens is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What is it?
It's just a beautiful, big, natural Kew Gardens place. Also, it's one of the most biodiverse places on the planet. I think there's 17, I think I read somewhere, either 10 or 17,000 different species of plant. It is fantastic. And on beautiful summer's day, it's a place to be. It's just very expensive. So yeah, been doing that. That was very wholesome.
Very nice.
Motorbiking again with Chris and Gareth on the weekend. So Chris rode all the way from Aylesbury to the Midlands on his, Ducati something cafe racer thing. And then we went to Cafe and Machine, and then we went to the Piston Club. And yeah, we had a very good time. So I've been spending a lot of time on the bike recently.
What bike have you got, Alex? I've not. Is it a Ducati? Is that a Ducati?
That is a Ducati. Yeah, yeah.
That one's an ornament. It never moves.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
It's a pretty ornament.
It is a lovely
wicked
ornament.
Looking bike, isn't it?
It's quite an expensive ornament, but it is a lovely ornament.
Most people do actually buy them to look at. Because that rides like shit. Yeah. It's one of those bikes. It's only good if you're like going at 10-10.
So which one do you actually ride?
So I have a Triumph Daytona 675R. Do you like those, Jack?
They are my favourites.
Really? Yeah, what do you like about them? Name three things.
Their engines just...
Yeah.
They did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How many cylinders have they got, Jack?
How many?
I've got two.
They could.
They could
have two.
They also
You'd be in trouble if they had two cylinders.
They have two wheels as well.
They do? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Fair play. You know exactly.
No.
Yeah, fair play.
They've also got them handlebars too.
Yeah, them handlebars. apart from that...
And the little squeaky horn.
Oh, dear. Apart from that, been driving my Alpha 156 GTA around a lot. Just fitted 15 mil spacers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just brings the wheels out nicely, very nice. And have installed, I had the help of Taylor and Rory a little bit, a CD player.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's not Bluetooth compatible though, so I have to listen to like radio too.
Oh wait, so do you actually like swap out the CDs? That's how you listen to your music?
No, I sing to myself while playing with an abacus.
Yeah. So you installed a CD player when you could have installed a Bluetooth stereo?
No, it was in the boot, man.
Oh,
it came
right,
with the car. But I do want a Bluetooth compatible thing.
You should have said, Jack, it was like something of in Halfords when they first came out with these little screens on the front of them?
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're still in black and white, but it has like small little graphics and it's like a Sony first gen graphics display.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah.
Whereas it was even before the color LCD sort of thing.
Yeah.
But he's got one of those. Jack.
Probably.
Yeah. Jack's just like, what
reg are you?
Does yours not have an iPhone?
I am a Y reg.
Are you a Y reg? Is that 2001?
I'm a, what's the one before a Y?
No, you're an O1.
No, I'm a zero.
Oh God.
Zero. I'm a zero, zero. What would that be?
I don't know. I think that'd be Y. Yeah.
Is that
you're an X or a Y, Reg?
I'm
At least he's not in the numbers. He's not like a 52 plate. That'd be really bad.
Yeah.
I'm a C, Reg.
You're a C, Reg? Oh, dear.
All right. What Reg are you? Do you know what Reg you are?
What's 93.
You're a K. Are you a K, Reg? I think you're a K.
I'm a K.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Okay, I'm a C. Oh dear. I've also been filming with a rising star called Jack McNeil.
Oh, who's that?
Yeah.
What's he like?
Bit of a bell.
Yeah.
He's very ageist, actually.
Really? Yeah.
He would laugh at you if you said you were really old.
And he doesn't drive his cars because he wants to keep them clean.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Yeah.
Also been filming with a guy called Aaron and his 4x4 Panda. Pedro, aka Pedro, you know Pedro the Panda on Instagram?
I do now, now that you've driven.
Oh, is that the interesting looking sort of 4x4 big lifty?
Yeah.
Is that having a bath engine in it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so I drove that. And if you've ever driven like a Focus ST, you'll know what the torque steer is like.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't seen nothing yet, boys. Because the torque steer on that is chronic because it's so lifted, it just wants to go towards like the nearest hedge. It's actually dangerous. Which is why I like it.
How's the torque steer on your Jazz? Is it
the torque steer on the Jazz isn't that bad.
Yeah.
On the Fox, on the other hand, that thing goes everywhere.
Okay.
But I imagine
if you try Pedro, you will die. Yeah. You will actually die. Wayne off.
Well, I'm not gonna try it then, am I?
Well, just don't die.
No, but
okay.
That's the fun of it, isn't it?
Exactly.
Right, having a car which wants to kill you a little bit, just not too much.
And final update, which you're going to like, Rory, is going to mean nothing to you, Jack.
Okay.
Nothing. So we have a motor vehicle called Big Pete, Significant Peter, which is our Land Rover Discovery, 192,000 miles.
Yeah. Is that the one that broke my ramp?
No, your ramp broke our car.
You tried to kill us with your ramp.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, our previous unit actually used to belong to Jack, and then you've now taken it back over, haven't
you?
Yes. And when we were first in there, we tried to like lift Big Pete, and Jack tried to kill us.
Yeah.
Because the ramp started falling
over. Well, we did install...
Jack used chewing gum to install the ramp.
Well, not even that. News to me was you're supposed to put resin in the bolts. And I was just like, well, there's bolts and there's holes. So you put the bolts in the ground. Job's good. And I've only ever lifted really up at 900 kilogram Nissan Micra. So it was fine for me.
Okay.
But then Big Pete was a bit too big.
Yeah, and then I had to pay a man to actually install it properly, so you're welcome.
Yeah. But then you robbed all of my stuff in the unit, so you're welcome.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so goes around.
And then it does, it really does, yeah. So, okay, so anyway, Big Pete,
the actuator. We think that the actuator on the turbo is sticking.
Yeah.
To get to the turbo, you need to take the body off. Very expensive job, blah, blah, blah. We don't want to do it. Plus Big Pete, quite sluggish, 192,000 miles. We've been speaking about a company called MDRS.
Yeah.
And they do the Range Rover Sport TD V8 swaps in those cars. And I said, I'm going to have a chat to this company.
Okay.
I've chatted to this company.
Yeah.
And Big Pete is booked in for the 14th of April.
To put a TD V8 in it?
Yes, he is.
Wait, sorry. Get me in the drift. What right. engine has it got in a minute?
So it's got a 2.7 TD6 in it, which they are underpowered. And then they also then put a 3 litre in the Discovery 4, which is the one, I don't know if you've ever heard of the crankshaft snapping in any of these Land Rovers.
Can't say.
They're notorious for it.
Okay.
So they never actually put a good engine in a Discovery.
Okay.
None of them have a good engine. But they did put good engines in the Range Rovers.
Mm, right.
And they didn't want to put these good engines in the Discovery because they thought it would impact the sales of the Range Rovers. But turns out there's a company that can actually take the Range Rover engine and then put it in a Discovery.
Wow.
And that's what we're doing.
That is very exciting.
Funny story, MDRS owner David, he's actually got a customer in at the moment who's having one of these conversions done.
Yeah.
Customer says to David, oh, by the way, Tom and Alex and Rory were talking about the conversions, blah, blah, blah. You should get in contact with them. So Tom had spoken to David previously, but not mentioned who he was.
Yeah, yeah.
And then David, the owner, was like, oh, that must be that Jaguar Land Rover specialist guy. Let me give him a call back. Anyway, they've had a chat and Tom's basically said, I want you to do it with Alex first so I can see what it's like.
So we're the test subject.
We are the test subject. And I'm very happy too because, 3 days the conversion takes. We need to go all the way oop noof, and it's like Durham, I think. So it's like 5 hours away.
Okay,
quite up north.
Yeah, so we need to hope that Big Pete actually makes it there. We'll do a little bit of filming, and then we'll come back on the third day or so. And then Big Pete will have a V8 diesel.
That is pretty cool.
And then you'll be happy?
Yeah.
Except for the seats?
No, we do need to change the seats.
Okay, I'll get you some cushions.
The seats have got no padding left in them. For long distance trips, which we tend to do quite a lot.
Yes, yes.
No. Not good.
Yes. So that's a very exciting update.
That is cool, actually.
Yeah. And all in, I think it's $7,000.
That's not bad.
To do the conversion. Yeah.
It's not bad at all.
For a Disco 4, it's slightly more because it's a bit more complicated.
Okay.
So I'm very excited and hopefully we can make sure that Big Pete lives on with us for many, many years. He'll outlive us at this rate.
What if something else breaks?
Yeah, he's going in the bin.
Okay, all right, cool.
Then we'll do another keep or quit, and they'll be like, quit. I can't be bothered.
Okay.
And now a quick break to tell you about this week's fantastic podcast sponsor, Manual, that is revolutionizing hair loss treatment by combining science, technology, and medical expertise to deliver personalized, cutting-edge hair loss treatment plans. And I'm sure you've all heard the phrase, bald is beautiful, but if bald ain't for you, then Manual has the answer. Because whether you're at the start of a hair loss journey or deep in the throes of one, Manual has treatment options to target all stages of hair loss. 92% of men who use Manual's hair plan saw improvements in their hair loss with positive results showing in as little as between 3 and 6 months. The way Manual works is super simple too. Answer a few questions about your hair loss and medical history, and one of Manual's UK licensed experts will help you customize a plan to maximize your success and monitor your progress. But don't take my word for it, because more than 200,000 men trust Manual's hair loss treatment plans. So if you want to give Manual a go, go to manual.co/autoalex to get started. And when you do, you'll get 50% off your first order. That's 50% off your first order when you get started at manual.co/autoalex. Manual. Men's health the way it should be. Let us now move on, El Podcasto, to Find of the Week. Play the theme tune.
Find of the Week.
No, we have the thing though, don't we?
Oh, do we have a theme tune now?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm going to push a button. And 3, 2, 1.
It's time for Find of the Week.
Wow.
Oh, that was good.
Did you like that, Jack?
That was a great theme tune.
What was your favourite part?
The bit where it goes, doo-doo-doo.
Right, note to editors, we need to actually include exactly that clip. So anyway, Find of the Week, where you, the audience, give us a budget and a category, and we will come armed with our car of choice and argue about whose is best. Everyone's getting their phones out ready. As a reminder, last week's category and budget chosen by Hamilton James Cars, the most enthusiastic man in the world.
Yes.
Hello, Hamilton! was our perfect sports car for a budget of £5,000 or less, can be a coupe or convertible, and extra points if it has a V8. I went for the V6 powered 350Z, had a bit of love. Taylor chose an Audi S5 and Rory went rogue with a crashed Jaguar XKR, was it?
XKR, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Taylor actually won by a landslide. And one email from a James Shepperton reads, as an S5 owner myself, I can categorically say that there is nothing, and I mean capitalized, nothing that comes close for bang for buck. As for Rory, you listening?
Yeah.
He wants his head checking.
What?
Yeah.
No.
And Alex, you're clearly so old and frail that you missed out the bit about a V8 being preferable. Love as always, James. Thanks, James.
Well, you know who said I won?
Who?
Hamilton.
Hamilton.
He sent me a message and said I chose correctly.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, if Hamilton chose, then you must have won it.
Yes.
So again, look down the barrel of the lens and recommend that people go out and buy that crash-damaged Jaguar XKR.
If you are Hamilton, go buy that
because
Jaguar
you are
XKR.
Not sound yeah. of mine.
Yeah. Okay, so there is extra points for V8s.
No. This was last week.
Oh, right.
This was last week's one. So let me also just load up my my car of choice. Bear with me. Can we have some backing music, please, Jack? Perfect. Editors, we're going to use that as well. anyway, this week, Tim Madden has challenged us to find the perfect dad car. His email reads, "Hi, a dad is like someone old who has a child like you."
Got
so
it.
It's like me. Could I be your dad? Oh my God. Mm. Oh my God. How old are you?
You 24. I think you would have been a teen
if
dad.
You were 16.
So this is actually very plausible for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, plausible.
We're going to move on. Hi, chaps. I am in the market for a new dad car to transport me, capitalized, my wife, and my two young children around. I would like it if it had a little extra spice to allow for some spirited driving on the weekend without the kids. The kids are still in big rear-facing car seats, so it has to be a four-door with some decent rear cabin space. Budget is between, it's big this week, £10,000 to £15,000, ideally not an SUV. What do you think? Keep up the good work. Tim. Jack, you seem very excited. Do you want to talk us through your car? And so, screen recording as well, please, Jack.
Okay, I will make sure to get it on.
Get in on.
Right, so.
Also, people listen to this with their ear holes only, so you need to describe what you're seeing
as well.
I need to describe.
Right, okay. Yeah. This is, okay, that is a good piece of advice. Anyway, so I have chosen.
Yes.
A Subaru Impreza V2 STI 555 limited wagon. Now, it's a car which
What does that mean? I don't know.
Okay. I didn't know what it meant either. And I'm actually not that knowledgeable on Subarus, but I saw this and I was like, that's the one.
Okay.
Because it's perfectly in our budget. It's just £5 under 13 grand.
Okay, £12,995.
It is a Subaru wagon, so it's a beautiful blue color with the golden wheels.
Yeah.
And it has, obviously, it's got the boxer engine in, which is 280 horsepower.
Ooh,
and it's, you know, obviously the boxer engines are, their engine configuration means the car's got a low center of gravity.
Yes.
And they've, well, on top of the all-wheel drive, it means that the car's going to be really good handling. He said he wanted spirited driving.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be good handling.
Yeah. Okay, right. Fair. Boom. Yeah, I'll give you that.
And this specific car, in the description,
Where have you found this car, by the way?
Auto Trader.
Auto Trader, nice, yeah.
It says, just the first line, it says, here we have a very, very rare Impreza ST555, which was produced to commemorate Colin McRae.
Oh,
believed to be only 85 in the world and only three left in the UK.
So it's very rare as well.
A very rare car. And I think with the performance and the fact that it's a wagon, it's got space for his kids in the back.
Yeah.
And the only sort of downside I can see is that it's quite an old car and it might not have the luxuries of a modern car. But he didn't specify that.
Show us the pictures and then let's talk through what we can see. Okay, wow. Yeah, the wheels are very good. Oh, that looks nice. It also looks to me to be completely unmodified.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So is this the same Subaru that Hammond had on their Africa special thing.
It could be. It could be, yeah. I can't... I'm
the one where, again, where Clarkson's...
No, he had a... I think he had a bug eye.
Yeah, his was the generation after. Okay. Yeah,
I think
yeah,
it's the, this is the generation before. I think it's the best looking
one. Oh, God, those seats
one.
Are disgusting.
They are a little bit old.
They look a bit grubby.
Look, that's Japanese simplicity.
Yes. We were talking about the quality of Japanese interiors and how fantastic they were recently, didn't we?
Yeah,
we love them.
I got told off because apparently...
I also got told off.
They're not bad, but...
Okay.
Jack, you work on a lot of JDM cars.
I do, yeah.
How would you rate their interiors?
Simple. Simple,
but simple
functional.
But quality.
It's not luxurious. No.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
And the quality of the plastics, high or
are they probably quite low? But is this why you buy a car for the quality of the
exactly
plastics?
Right. No, exactly.
Or
no,
is
you
it
buy them because
for...
you want to drive the car?
Exactly.
Yeah. So fair play.
That's my
okay. So we have got an Impreza 555.
Yep.
Which looks very tasty, and that was 12,995.
Yes.
Okay. There you go.
So it's perfectly in budget as well.
There you go. That is the first contender for you, Tim Madden. Rory, would you like to talk us... Wait, hold on. 10 to 15 grand.
Yeah.
If it's British...
No.
Get out. Okay.
It's not British.
Oh, it's not British. Okay.
But Jack was on the right lines.
Okay, all right.
I've also gone for an estate.
Yeah.
Fast.
Yeah.
It has 540 horsepower.
Is it like a Legacy or something?
No.
Oh,
is it a 4-liter V8 by any chance?
It's a 4.2.
Is it an Audi by any chance?
It is an Audi.
Oh, it's an Audi.
So I have gone for a blue Audi RS6.
This was something else that was going to be a contender, but yeah, that is a nice car.
That looks nice.
This one is slightly modified. So it's a very special layer cake car. What does that mean?
Layer cake?
Yeah.
The movie? With James Bond?
Is that what... I don't know. It just
with
says,
Daniel Craig?
Very special layer
have
cake
you, have
car.
You watched Layer Cake?
Yeah.
What's your favourite part? Name three.
The bit where they layer the cake.
No, Layer Cake is a fantastic cult movie by director Guy Ritchie.
Oh, I don't...
Fantastic, fantastic movie.
I don't know. Was there an RS6 in it?
Yes, and there's also a P38 in there, bright yellow.
So
Layer Cake is such a... Honestly, watch Layer Cake. It's got drugs, it's got fast cars, it's got Daniel Craig just being a badass. It's great. Really good movie.
Well, I don't know if this is the car or whether it looks like the car.
Maybe it's the Layer Cake spec. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's got cocaine all over the dashboard.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But it has been stage 2 RC tuned.
Yeah.
So it's 540 horsepower.
Yeah.
Timing belt and steering pump have been changed 1,500 miles ago.
Okay.
Loads of paperwork, loads of things, just been MOT'd and serviced. He said that he could go on.
What's the gearbox on that car? What sort of gearbox has it got?
It's got one.
It does have a gearbox.
Yeah, it's got one. It's an automatic.
That's not CVT.
Is that minus points for an auto?
Could that be CVT?
It wouldn't be a CVT.
That's got to be minus points, surely.
It wouldn't be a CVT.
Yeah, but it's still
everybody to know that my Subaru was a manual.
Yeah, but he says he wants it as a daily, though.
Yeah, but every car I've ever daily has been a manual.
Spirited driving, you're going to be like CVT.
That's because you're young.
Down
all right, Alex.
Yeah?
Would you have a daily manual now?
I do have a daily manual. It's Alfa Romeo.
If you could put a manual in your G31, would you?
No.
There we go. I'm sorry. For a daily, once you switch to an automatic, you will not switch back, Jack. I promise you.
Well, maybe Tim Madden is also a child.
No, because he's got kids.
Yeah, he's got kids.
I think this is the right choice.
Okay,
an RS6.
Yeah, and it's a blue colour. What's the mileage on it?
So this, only 75,000 miles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
This is a good car.
Okay, and the final thing.
And the price.
The price, thank you.
$13,995.
Oh, so that's a grand more than yours.
Mm. But a grand spare still on the budget.
Exactly, yeah.
This is true.
Which goes to show... me that you're not taking this seriously.
Oh, okay. Go on then. What's your choice?
Okay, so I am using all of the budget.
I swear.
Minus £1.
Do you own this car?
No.
Okay.
I wish I did.
All right.
Because it's the estate version of a car that I own. I am on an Alfa Romeo hype train at the moment. Let me just quickly do my screen.
I wonder
recording.
What car it could be.
Yeah, I'm looking at
you
it.
You should
like,
probably know.
Is that not just the car you've got, but an estate?
Yeah. It is, of course, an Alfa 156 GTA Sport Tourer.
That is pretty nice.
And it's also Mazda Soul Red.
That is quite nice, actually.
That is quite nice. Yeah.
Okay, all right, the specs. This is on Car and Classic. Where was your Audi?
Auto Trader.
Auto Trader. And we've got Japanese car, Italian car, and a German car.
Yeah,
got a good mix.
We've done well, haven't we? A shade under 90,000 miles. It is red in colour. Private seller. Very rare example of an Italian thoroughbred, one of around 110 UK-based examples of the 156 GTA sport wagon with a striking factory colour, powered by a 249 brake horsepower, 3.2 Busso V6, and we know how good they sound, coupled, and this is very important, Rory, coupled to a six-speed manual gearbox. Most of the...
Sorry.
Apology accepted.
No, but what did you just say about having a daily?
Yeah, but
so negative points.
This car needs a manual gearbox.
I agree.
Yes,
but it's his daily driver.
Did he say daily? I've actually
you can daily a manual.
Yeah, you can daily a manual. God, you're so old.
Is he? I swear he's the oldest one here.
He is the oldest. Manual six-speed, comprehensive service history, blah blah blah. Fully restored paint, bodywork, new front seats. Very nice. Two owners since 2002, including myself. Close to my heart and been looking. And be looked after by me for over 20 years. New cam belt, gasket set, cylinder heads, covers, new water pump, inlet pipe, auxiliary belt, lower suspension arm, new thermostat housing. It has had everything done to it. And I speak from experience when I say that that car puts such a massive smile on your face. And if I could, I would swap this car owned by this man on Car and Classic, if you're listening, with that car. Although your car's probably worth a bit more than mine.
I was going to say, yeah, why would he want to do that?
Because he might be an idiot. Mm. It probably owes me about 5 or 6 grand.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. But it's a 10 grand car because it's so low mileage. It's only done 70,000 miles to the owner of this car. It's only done 70,000 miles. And also you're getting rid of this because you don't want the estate. Estates are really dangerous.
You know how I know you love that car so much because if anyone knows Alex, he doesn't drive his cars, Jack. Yeah. Genuinely.
Oh. I saw him on the way back from our shoot driving his Alfa.
Yeah. He's been driving it everywhere. I've never seen him like this with any other car. Like he always say, I really do like it, but he doesn't like it enough to drive it home.
Yeah. But it's less compliant as well.
But this one he's driving all the time.
I am. Yeah. And I'm making a lot of
angry
V6 Busso noises.
Are you okay?
Is this a long-term car for you then?
It's a long-term, yeah. Long-term. It's going to be here for another 3 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is a long time.
That is long term, isn't it? Yeah.
I'll
probably get
pulled. Until it gets put on one of these and then it never moves.
I'm looking forward to the big yellow Alfa Romeo to go.
Yeah, that doesn't need to go.
I thought that was a Fiat.
Yeah, it pretty much is. Yeah, it's a crash damaged Fiat. Yeah.
When is that going?
I don't know. Freddie, when's it going?
Yeah. Have you revealed that?
No, no one knows. No one knows Tavares' real name, though.
Okay. Okay.
Oh shit.
Okay.
Anyway, it is up to you guys to decide when Freddie collects that Ferrari because I don't want to see it. No, I'm joking. it's up to you guys to decide which one of us has chosen the best car. You can do that by emailing it at
podcast@autoalexcars.com. But we are not going to do that this time.
Oh, why?
We're going to do a poll.
I was going to say, someone mentioned in the comments from the last podcast, do a poll. How do we do that? Where?
In the description, in the link below, there'll be a poll and then we'll see who's has won.
What, a YouTube poll?
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Not on YouTube. It'll be like a link to another poll.
Oh, okay. I've never seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, YouTube, make polls of
So have a look in the description. There'll be a link and you can tell us which car you thought was the better car.
Yeah, yeah. Also, you know, last week or week before, I did the detailing with Robin on the 147 GTA. Yeah. I put a picture up of my Alfa 156 GTA and a 147 GTA, you know, the little hot hatch. Mm-hmm. And then I said, which one of these is better? Who do you think, or what car do you think people voted for more? Like the cooler, nicer car between a 156 GTR, 147?
I mean, I think the correct answer should be the 156, but I think people voted for the 147.
Really?
I think because you posted it.
No, it's nothing to do with that.
I think because it's nothing to do with that. The 156 was voted.
It's nothing to do with that, but yes, that's correct. Yeah. And it was also quite a landslide. 70% people
really?
In the Instagram vote said that they would... Are you saying because I'm just so influential?
Well, they probably did watch your video, so they probably have got a bit of bias towards the 156.
Well, do you know what?
Thank you,
they're
Jack.
Right.
Thank you.
they're bloody right. But yeah, I would like to find out from you guys in the poll below, link, blah, 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 which of those cars is the best? The Subaru Impreza, the the CVT gearbox, RR6, or the fantastic Alpha 156 GTA Sport Wagon. Before we continue, a quick show of love to this week's second fantastic sponsor, Febby Bilstein, whom we are now officially partnered with for 2025. Very exciting times. And I'm sure you already know the Febby name because their OE matching quality parts have helped keep countless cars on the channel alive, including Big Pete, which is now, by the way, going to be endowed with a TD V8 motor. Roger, my E30 behind me, our 260,000 mile KN, and also my beloved Alpha 156 GTA that I know I don't stop banging on about. We use Febby parts on a weekly basis and have installed their brakes, suspension components, have used their engine and gearbox service kits extensively, timing chain kits, you name it, we've done it, and we have always been super, super happy with their quality. And what we love most about Febby is that they literally have everything for every car at a fraction of dealer prices, and their parts are widely available wherever you go and get your car parts. And Febby also has a sister company called Blueprint that specializes in Asian cars. And just like Febby, anything you buy from there comes with a 3-year warranty. So do as we do and get your car parts from either Febby or Blueprint and use their simple online parts finder where you can enter your vehicle make and model to bring up all of the parts that they have available. And trust me, you will not be disappointed. Link below. So again, to Febby, thank you very much for supporting us. We genuinely love everything that you guys do. Back to it. Anyway, let us now move it on to news.
News.
Rory. News.
News. News. Let me find the news.
We're usually better than this, Jack.
There's news.
Yeah. The news.
What sort of news are we reporting on?
Just like...
Car news.
Car news. Yeah, what's been going on in the car world? Oh. And then I want to learn a bit about you, Jack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've got to think of the news first, though.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to think about it. He just needs to inform us.
I did not send the links to myself from the computer. Oh,
while he's looking for the news, Jack, I want to learn a bit more about you. You started off life as a baby.
I did.
Back in 2000.
2000, yeah. I have I've never seen the 90s.
No. You've never seen the
90s? No, this is true.
So you never wore shoulder pads in the 80s like me?
In the 90s, I was just an idea.
You were just an idea, a figment of two people's imaginations. No, I want to get into your love of cars, really. Do you have like early car memories? Is there something that sparked off your interest and desire to get into cars any which way?
There was a specific birthday when I was a child.
Oh, really?
And I got gifted one of those supercar track days.
What?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I think I was like 13 or 14.
Wow.
And I was like 13 or 14 and I had the opportunity to drive it was a Lamborghini Gallardo.
Wow.
And I want to say a Ferrari 360.
Okay. Yeah.
And then
also
another car, which I can't remember. Yeah. But what I can remember was the feeling that that day left on me. And it was.
So you're a 13 year old actually driving these cars on track?
Yeah. They allowed me. My good friend Rufus as well. Yeah. I think we went as a pair and we just drove around. I think he chose a 911. It was great fun.
Wicked.
But no, just, you know, always been into it. You know, the classic Hot Wheels, watched Top Gear, played GTA on when I was in my teenage years. And I used to love that game. Yeah. I was addicted to that game. Yeah. I used to play it, get all the cars, modify them. And that's literally probably where I've got my addiction with modifying cars from. So just been growing up around cars and just always absolutely loved them, really.
Fantastic. So you did the whole school thing, obviously. And then did you go into university or did you kind of start with the TikTok thing and university at the same time?
So I left school in 2019 and then went to University of Bath to study business.
Left school in what?
2019.
You left school in 2019?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He's trying to point out how young you are.
This literally makes my head hurt.
So wait, when did you start your TikTok?
I started TikTok in lockdown. So must have been 2020.
Okay.
Okay.
And I remember it was...
So you've just left school.
So I just left school in 2019.
Yeah.
And then I went to the University of Bath, studied business. Got through my first year, all okay. And then I think end of first year and second year was when lockdown hit. And like a lot of people, I just loads of time to myself. I was like, what am I going to do with myself? And I just thought, you know, because at the time I had this really
old crappy Nissan Micra that I was sharing with a friend.
Yeah.
Rufus, again, that friend
this
that
isn't
I mentioned
Boris,
earlier.
Is it?
No, this isn't Boris. Okay. This is actually the real OG.
Oh,
this car
really?
Was called Nigel.
No! that car is called Nigel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I just pointed at my 993.
Yeah. Ah, brilliant. So yeah, we had this awful white Nissan Micra, which at the time we had no idea how to work on cars.
Yeah.
Absolutely none. So we got our mechanic friend to turbocharge this car for us.
Really?
Yeah, and it was like, it was the worst job. Not the mechanic did a great job, but like we bought the crap kit and just, it was not great. It was smoking and everything, but it did look really cool under the bonnet. And the exterior was like really shoddy, paint was peeling off, but under the bonnet, it looked sick. So it was like a proper sleeper vibe. And I just thought, one day I was like, oh, why don't I just film a TikTok on this?
Yeah.
And just, you know, cause I've got a pretty cool idea for it. But at the time TikTok was just, you know, dancing and that was literally it. Lip syncing, dancing. That was literally it.
Yeah.
And yeah, we posted it on there and that first video got 800K views.
Really?
What? And I remember posting-
And you were you brand new on TikTok at this
brand,
point?
I had zero followers.
Wow.
And I literally posted it and I remember going to bed and again, I was playing GTA with Rufus. I was like, oh, I posted TikTok, got 3,000 views. And I was like, I was pretty chuffed with that.
Yeah.
And then I went to bed, woke up and had 26K and I was like, oh my God, this is my time to get on board with this. Cause I was like, this is something new and fresh. So I then just posted a load more on that car. And then I started doing like reviews of like first cars and what people should get on their first cars. And just like doing like 3 TikToks a day was what I was doing at one point.
And for people who don't really know TikTok, you need to educate me here a little bit. How long is it? I know you don't say TikTok video. You just say TikTok.
A TikTok.
Yeah. How long is a TikTok usually?
Well, back in the day, you could only do them a minute, but now you can do them up to 10.
10 so, minutes, okay.
But back in the day, you could like a minute was the limit. So, So yeah, and then I just started posting loads of car reviews on there. And then I was like, I kept on mentioning these like reviews I was doing, how much I love Nissan Micras, because I had that white one previously. Yeah. And everyone in the comments was like, why don't you buy one? Blah, 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 blah. So I bought one and I just had an idea one day to let the audience choose the comment, because TikTok had a good feature where you could, the most liked comment went to the top.
Okay.
It was very easy for everyone to see it and everything. So I was like, why don't we just do a series where the most liked comment chooses the next mod. And that was when Boris was born. And then the rest is history, I suppose.
Yeah. And talk us through that kind of Boris journey, because the attention that you got, the views you got, the followers you got just went absolutely mental.
Yeah.
NASCAR had some involvement.
Yeah. The official account of NASCAR got involved, but yeah, basically, so we got through all these sort of episodes of modifying this car, just all of the most stupid shit you could imagine. Like, you know, pink flames down the side. That was actually NASCAR's idea. So we
amazing.
Had one of the videos, I was like, look, let's top comment chooses the wrap.
Yeah.
And the two top comments were matte black with pink stripes.
Yeah.
And then flames down the side. And I decided to merge it into one, the two top comments. And yeah, and that's why Boris has the livery that he's got. And it was very soon after that I met you on Crotal.
Yeah. That was a few years ago.
Yeah, long time ago. Yeah. But
and then I think we did a video which was this is Nissan Micra that the internet built or something.
Yes,
like that.
That was it. It was like this is the TikTok. Oh, I can't remember exactly the title, but yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it
go
was,
check it out on Car Throttle.
Yeah, it's done well actually that video. But no, and then from there I did another series with the same idea, but then I decided, you know, TikTok at the time wasn't paying very well. So, you know, lockdown was sort of, things were freeing up. So I thought, okay, let's go back to university. And I actually went back to university whilst doing a little bit of TikTok here and there for the remainder of my time. And since leaving university in 2023, I think it was, I have since been going full time at all of it, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram.
Amazing. And before we talk about your YouTube journey, I assume you're probably still living with your parents.
I am still living with the parents, okay. Yes.
So you fresh out of school, go to university, start doing TikTok, do university, and then you say, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be a YouTuber and TikToker. What do they say?
So my dad said he loves it now because he's like, oh my God, it's so different. I love, you know, because he quite likes being able to watch it grow and watch all the numbers and everything. Yeah. And we have loads of chats about it all the time. And we have a screening every time I post a video. We all sit down and watch it. I think if you'd told them before I'd started what I would be doing, oh yeah, he's going to take these really crap cars and he's going to just like spend a load of money on them and just film it and put it on YouTube. And that's what he's going to do as a job. And my parents wouldn't have been very happy, not at all. But, I think as they've seen it grow and as they've seen how it can like be, you know, as you guys know, like the dream job,
They've, you know, they're really supportive of it now.
Amazing, amazing. But there was a little bit of hesitation at the start.
There definitely was. There was a little bit, you know, because they were like, oh, should we get a job? Like, should we actually do, you know, what we should be doing, going to get a job in London or whatever? But I think, you know, it was just too good of an opportunity to miss out on.
A bit like me, you went to university, studied for like 3-4 years, did nothing with it.
Yeah.
And then just went and be a YouTuber.
But to be fair, I did, like, there were lots of great people I met, like a lot of my friends now. Nice. And it was a great experience. I started a band in uni.
Did you?
Yeah.
What's the band called?
Oh, it was called Edge of 21.
Wait, what, were you playing an instrument or singing?
I was lead singer and guitarist.
Oh my God.
Right, question. All right, are we going to find this on YouTube?
Absolutely not. Oh. It is in the archives.
Is it really?
I do have videos of it, but you will never see it.
So what were we, like indie rock or?
Yeah, we're doing sort of stuff like a lot of Arctic Monkeys, a lot of, we did, I actually can't remember the names of all the bands now, but indie rock was sort of what we specialized in. Yeah. But no, we absolutely loved it.
Was there ever a point when you were in your indie rock band that you thought this is going to be our future?
Do you know what? There was one point where I was like, oh, I really want to upload a song on Spotify. Because we wrote a few songs as well. But no, I sort of knew it had its sort of limited time.
Because then you looked out the window and you saw the Nissan Micra.
This
is my calling.
This is my calling. And do you know what? We took it to uni a few times and it got some funny looks. But the lads who I lived with at university loved it. We took trips up to campus in it. Amazing. And everybody was looking at us like, what is that? But no, yeah, it was good fun.
Good stuff.
Did you ever get people recognize you at university from
the vet? Like some people were like, didn't really recognize me until I told them and they showed them like, oh, you were that guy with that Micra. Cause at that point it was like still already like a year and a half, 2 years old. So it was already like in the back of people's minds. There are a few people that sort of knew me from it, but I wouldn't say I was like a celeb on campus. Definitely not.
Or a BNOC. You ever heard that?
A BNOC, big name on campus.
Big name on campus.
I wasn't. I was an SNOC, small man on campus.
A snock. Right. So you've obviously transitioned from TikTok onto YouTube now.
Yes.
Tell me, what was that like? Was it a difficult thing to transition from? What are the learnings? Because obviously, like you, the whole world of YouTube is way more in depth.
Oh yeah,
you absolutely really got to give it your all. So what's 100%. That kind of transition period been like for you?
It's very challenging at the start because TikTok, I think a lot of people who are on social media would agree that TikTok views are much easier earned than YouTube views. There is a lot more that goes into a YouTube view than a single TikTok view, which is why, you know, a YouTube view is more valuable to advertisers than a TikTok view because it's a lot longer XYZ. And you have to, I didn't do well on YouTube at all until I started really researching, like, you know, all the other channels. What are other people doing? You know, how are they making YouTube work? What are the aspects, the certain things that they do with their content, which makes their videos do well? Until I started studying it like that, none of my videos were doing particularly well. But it's just, you know, a case of, you know, trying, researching, and eventually finding some success and.
Okay, so if we rewind it like back a year, is it fair to say that you think your channel wasn't doing that well a year ago?
I'd say, what is it now? It's March. So I'd say a year and let's say 16 months ago.
Okay, so 16 months ago, you go onto YouTube, you do loads of studying and then you figure out some things, you write some stuff down and then you implement those things to make your videos more YouTube friendly.
Yep.
What are some of those things?
I think there's a few things at the minute for the automotive space which stand out. Storytelling, I think, is really important. You know, building a story, whether that's a story about a car, whether that's a story of what you want to achieve with the car, outlining a story which people can get behind and people can be invested in, I think is really important. But also, you know, with sort of my particular content, which is, you know, working on cars, getting a lot done, you know, gone are the days where you can just fit a set of coilovers and that's a video. You have to really, you know, as you guys will know, get loads done in a video to keep sort of the retention because, you know, lots of people are doing lots of work.
We've got one person to blame for all of this. One person.
Yeah.
Matt Armstrong. His videos, he just gets so much done in one video.
He does. Like, sometimes I watch them and I'm like, how has he
done that? He's from the future and he's just able to freeze time.
You know Matt more than us. Like, I don't get how he has the time to do what he does.
The difference is, I think with him, he absolutely lives, breathes it, loves it.
Yeah,
will not do anything. Like I don't think he does much else. Like he doesn't do much else. because he absolutely loves what he does with the filming and the editing. He loves every part of his of what he does. So if you absolutely love it like that, it working as hard on it as he does, it's easier. I mean, obviously it's not easy, but it's easier for him because he enjoys it so much.
Yeah, because he, like Freddie and yourself, Jack, still edits most of his videos himself as well. Like, when do you have time? But then I realized when in his last video, when he was revealing his new space that he's got, and he was like going, and then the beds can go here. And I thought he was joking.
He's doing a Mr. Beast, isn't he?
But he's not. It's just so they can sleep there, but get a power nap and then carry on working again. Yeah. Like, it's the effort that goes in from those guys is insane.
He's smashing it. He's smashing it.
You know, you don't have kids if you're working, if you're living at work.
Yeah. But I think as you were saying, a lot of the stuff that has now transcended through YouTube channels has come from him. Like the way that people do intros and the way that people 100%. Do all of that.
Yeah.
It's all just following that pattern.
It is a bit of a trickle down. I think, you know, in the automotive space, I think everybody would be lying if they said they hadn't had a look and tried to see what was the magic dust, which makes his videos so good, and trying to implement a little bit of into their videos.
Yeah, yeah.
I think everyone's
Why do you think I hire a man from Birmingham?
He's not from Birmingham. He's Midlands, but No, it doesn't count.
You kind of sound the same though.
Okay.
Do you not?
No.
Oh, okay.
So you're not from Birmingham?
I am from Birmingham.
Yeah, from Birmingham. You don't sound like it.
No.
You do sound like you come from Berkshire, actually.
No. What? I'm Central Birmingham.
Are you mad?
I'm Central Birmingham.
No.
All right, mate, I'm Central Birmingham.
That's better.
Anyway, back to YouTube. So now you're in a good place and you've done a few project cars already.
Yeah.
Quickly run us through kind of the highs and lows of being a project car builder.
So the highs are when you're working on it and you're making great progress. Love it. And obviously the end product is always great once you get there. But the lows, oh my God, the lows can be a snapped bolt can literally waste a whole day.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have been there. But I mean, the biggest low recently for me was, I think I briefly mentioned it earlier when I was doing this video on my Sarah, and I said in the intro, like I really, you know, I think it's important to outline a goal in the intro. I was like, I'm gonna get this car driving in this video. And I got to the point where the engine was in, all we were doing was literally putting the radiator on, putting the coolant in, last little bits and bobs, coolant is just pissing out of the engine. I'm like, okay, stay calm. Could be fine. Could be okay. Massive hole in the block. So engine comes back out and we investigate. All right. And I'm like, right. Okay. I've said to people, I'm going to get this car driving in this video. I need to get it driving. I was like, how can I get another engine? Making calls. Got another engine. I drove all the way, about 4 hours away. And I picked up this engine, brought it back. And I was like, right, this is going to be the savior of this video. It's going to be amazing. And then the engine, the head had a big hole in it. And And then the head had a big hole in it. And I was like, oh my God, this video.
You're not having much luck, are you?
We just had to leave it. We just have to leave it here. So, it's obviously not all sunshine and rainbows. And as a result, that video didn't perform as well. And obviously that can, you know, get to you as a YouTuber. Yeah. We'll look at the numbers.
It can be quite disheartening, can't it?
Yeah.
Especially you upload a video, you think it's going to bang, and then it doesn't, and you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah, YouTube has a ranking system as well where you can see, and it takes a
it's
snapshot.
It's really not good for your mental
it's
health.
Not, yeah. No. Yeah. And it takes a snapshot of where your video is at that point in time across all of the last 10 videos.
Mm.
And it will say whether it's like an 8 out of 10, a 5 out of 10, a 1 out of 10 or whatever. You're always aiming for a 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
But when you don't get it, you're just like, oh.
Yeah, and for everybody who's not a YouTuber, 1 out of 10 is the best.
Yeah.
I always play this to my parents. I'm like, oh, this is a 1 out of 10. He's like, that's not very good.
But, I mean, you don't go out on a night out and look for a 1 out of 10, do you?
No. Let's be honest.
It is the other way around on YouTube. Right, I want to talk a little bit about the news and then we're going to get a bit more from you.
Okay, yeah, sure.
About the future of Jack Maneer as well. So are you ready, Rory?
So the news is...
Oh, good news or bad news?
I would say this is good news.
Okay.
Sort of.
Okay.
So Nissan have announced that they will probably be doing a new GTR.
Oh.
And a new Z version.
Oh.
Although...
Oh.
It's looking like they are going to be both electric.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you say hybrid at least, man?
No, sorry. Apparently, they're waiting for more battery tech to come out.
Okay.
But they are looking at releasing two new cars. I got so excited when I saw this.
Yeah.
I was like going, oh, God, they're going to be releasing new sport cars and stuff. But no, it's just electric.
It is. That is really sad.
Boring.
Yeah. It's like new battery technology. How can you make a battery different? Like an engine can be so different to a different engine with, you know, the configuration, how many cylinders it has, its displacement, its tone, all of these different things. A battery is just a battery in my book. Just the power of it is different.
Yeah, it's every car just becomes quite similar when it's an electric car. Like you can change the interior, you can change all this stuff, but at the end of the day, you put your foot down on the pedal and it just goes.
And it goes, exactly.
Yeah, and that's it.
But I think electric cars have their place. I don't think death to all electric cars, but I just think for a sports car, it's got to be engaging and it's got to give you a certain feeling. It's like, I think fast cars are not the cool thing anymore. I think it's how a car makes you feel. You know, we all know microwaves that could do 0-60 faster than, you know, all the
microwaves.
Cars.
Microwaves?
Yeah, electric cars, yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, very, I was like, have I missed something here?
Yeah. But I think a way a car makes you feel is more important. And I just don't think electric cars evoke the same emotion.
No.
So, you know, I've just been looking on my phone actually for a screenshot I got from someone. You know, you mentioned that Nissan were waiting for the correct battery tech.
Yeah.
Have you heard what's been going on with BYD, Build Your Dreams, the Chinese electric car brand?
No. What's...
So they have taken battery and motor tech, put it in the bin, and they've rewritten the rule book. So basically, BYD have just come out with a vehicle that will cost in the region of about £35,000. It has a top speed of 300 kilometers an hour. That's 186 miles an hour. The globally fastest speed among the e-machine that are mass-produced. So their motor will do 30,511 RPM.
What?
30,511 RPM, which is crazy high. But that's not the most interesting thing, because the most interesting thing with these new BYD cars is that you can charge them to like 200 miles of range or so in 5 minutes.
That is pretty incredible.
Their chargers are now 1,000 kilowatt hours, which means that the likes of every other kind of European electric car manufacturer is screwed, like completely screwed. Yeah.
See, that is impressive, but there still is one big problem with that.
If you're going to mention infrastructure, they're working on that too.
But how? We've got the capability to do faster charging across the UK. Do you know how many of these actual points are the top end 250 kilowatt chargers?
No.
Not a lot.
But that's why BYD are going to come and sort it all out.
But who's paying for it?
BYD. BYD will literally come and pay for everything, sort it out, and they will literally take over the world.
And to be fair, I do think the first company that does that, they will have a huge monopoly, because it's not like a petrol pump where everyone, you can just, you know, put it in and the petrol comes out. With a charging port, you could say, no, only our cars are allowed to charge
Tesla, that is how they became big, was by actually putting in a charging network before anyone else had a charging network.
Yep.
But now I'm not quite sure why Tesla have done it, but other cars can use Tesla's charging points now. Mm. You'd think as a brand, you'd want to keep your cars and
the
spaces free.
Well, it maybe opens up the market, means that they can make more money through other manufacturers, right?
But potentially they make money off the charging, so maybe.
Yeah, but you'd think that you'd want to leave the spaces free, because there's a lot of the times now where you go to these Tesla superchargers and they're all full.
Yeah,
and people have got to wait. So, but now they're sometimes full with a BMW or a whatever, a VW. Mm. So you'd think if you were a brand, you'd want to kind of lock it down.
Aurora, you might have to consult Elon Musk on that one.
Yeah. I don't think he's listening to anyone these days.
Yeah, speaking of Elon, he's in a bit of trouble at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, so Tesla sales are massively down.
Oh yeah, I've heard that there's like a boycott on them.
Well, so everyone, and they're even getting destroyed. In the US, they are getting vandalized and destroyed. Because obviously his views, which, I mean, it is insane. Like, I don't think I've ever known a CEO, a president of a company with that outspoken views. Like, usually they stay very quiet behind the thing because obviously they don't want to affect their companies and everything like that. And now his company's taking the hit for it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But it's okay because Trump has bought a Tesla.
So
he's fixed it all.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he's done, 20% import duty?
Yeah, he's just put a 25%, I think it is, on all car imports into the US.
If you own an imported R34 in America, you're laughing, though.
Right, that's enough electric car news, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there any more news, or is that the news?
No, that was the news for this
week. That's the news.
That was the news
with Rory. Back to the news with Jack McNeil. What's the future look like for Jack McNeil? Have you got a five-year plan? I bet you got a five-year plan.
I haven't got a five-year plan. I've always thought with YouTube, it's quite difficult to do a five-year plan because you don't really know what the space is going to look like in 5 years.
Yeah.
I have a year or two-year plan.
Okay.
With like basically just all the projects that we want to get done and how we want to get them done. I've got a few real, real sick ideas, I think, for videos going forward. But no, it's just more build.
He's not going to share them with us, is he? He doesn't want us nicking the ideas.
Well,
we'll take your idea and we'll do it with a really shit Skoda or something.
But no, it's just obviously getting the builds done, and planning it with, Jav, my new Rory.
Yeah. Fantastic.
But no, the ideas. I don't want to.
They're your ideas. No, that's absolutely fine. So you're now a bona fide YouTuber. Does that mean you're more like off TikTok now?
Yeah, TikTok is, for me personally, it's not worth it anymore. It's good for sort of marketing, for the market things, but it doesn't really pay well at all.
Do you not see it as a good way to still grow your audience though? Like, is it, because we, to be honest, we're still learning from this. Like, because we've gone the opposite route where we're pure YouTube. And we don't know whether now to start doing TikTok and YouTube reels and all this stuff to then build up the audience from another side.
I do think it's worth doing, but I don't think it's worth spending too much time over because what I used to do with all of my videos is I used to film them on my big camera for YouTube and I'd also film them on my phone, like vertically for TikTok.
Yeah.
And it was, the work that goes into YouTube videos is already ridiculous. But if you add on to that worrying about TikTok angles and then presenting for TikTok as well as presenting for YouTube, and then doing that all by yourself and then worrying about building the cart and then worry about editing it all because you've got to edit the TikTok and edit the YouTube, it just becomes too much. And then it convolutes the process of making content so that, you know, the content isn't as consistent. And then when you go to post a TikTok, even if it does 1 million views, what do you get out of it? Like you get like a kick of dopamine and you get like, you know, eyes on your video for 5 minutes, but you have to think that the million people that have watched that video have probably seen 60, 70, maybe even 100 videos in their scrolling session.
Doom scrolling, yeah.
So it's not like 1 million views doesn't have the same impression as someone who has done 1 million views on YouTube, because most likely someone's watched one, maybe two videos. That's all they have time for, right?
Yeah.
So 1 million views on YouTube is a lot bigger deal because that's a whole evening for someone.
Yeah.
You know, that's their evening's entertainment rather than a fraction of their doom scroll session. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you started off doing TikTok, were you being paid? How does that work?
So I was being paid slightly. Like I had brands come up to me and do collaborations, but the collaborations were never like stable. Yeah. That's what I like. Obviously, you know, we like about YouTube is that it's, you know, the ad revenue is same time every month.
Yeah.
And you've got you can put integrations in every video, but with TikTok, you can't integrate the sponsorships into the videos because obviously as soon as someone smells an advert, they scroll away. It's so easy to scroll away.
Yeah.
With a YouTube video, they're like, okay, if they don't want to watch it, they can skip it. But a lot of people are willing to watch it because it's a 20, 30 minute long thing, you can integrate something in there. But with TikTok, you just can't monetize it. So if you want to do cool builds and you need a way of funding it. So it just, TikTok doesn't really work. I've just discovered that it doesn't really work.
So TikTok Direct does not pay you per view.
It does pay you per view, but for me,
it's so minimal.
It's so minimal.
So say you get a TikTok. Say you get a TikTok with 1 million views. What does that look like?
It completely depends on the person.
Okay.
But for me, I'd be very lucky if I even got 100 quid for 1 million views.
Okay. Okay.
Like, you know, and that's 1 million views. And you think, oh, 1 million views, you should be doing really well. And that's if it's over 1 minute as well.
Yeah.
Because the video has to be over 1 minute for you to get.
So you're spending a lot of time, even making a 1 minute segment video. That's a lot of effort.
Yeah. Like all of the, because I've been on a bit of a roll posting loads now. And it takes a long time to edit them. Because you know, if you're posting one a day, which is what you really need to do, because a lot of people on TikTok are posting that much. It's just, it's very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's easy to get fatigue, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then lose the love, lose the passion.
But also I think TikTok, it doesn't, the creativity and like the fact that you can build this really amazing piece of content that you can be proud of on YouTube is what I love about it. TikTok, I feel like it rewards like you just sticking a massive wing on it or doing a stupid exhaust coming out of the boot. It doesn't reward like a quality piece of content on a quality car that you've done and people appreciate and respect. It's just like, obviously obviously I love Boris, but like at the time it wasn't a build at the time that I was particularly proud of. I was proud of like the growth that I'd had on social media, but like I knew I could do so much better. So, and that's what I like about YouTube, is it's an outlet which allows you to be proud of the content that you're making, be proud of the builds that you're doing as well. Whereas TikTok, it's impossible.
Yeah. What is the piece of content that you've been the most proud of? Or could be a segment.
I'd say it's the power video that I did on the Fox when I was doing the video on all the power upgrades, because that video was so much work. We had literally did all of these upgrades to this Fox. The engine was out. We put it in downpipe, fuel pump, injectors, turbo. We did so much to that engine. We got it in the car. We got it to the mappers, and we got people a power figure all in one video. And I think I nailed the edit. Yeah. And I watched that back. It was 40 minutes, but it wasn't fluffy 40 minutes. I thought it was all good. And I watched that back, and I was like, I'm really proud of that.
Good.
And I never had that feeling with TikTok. I was like, oh, that one's done really well.
Yeah.
But it never made me fulfilled.
Yeah. See, that's not the segment that I thought you were going to say.
Oh, let me have a guess.
All right.
Is it of a car that's also sitting out there?
It is, yeah. See,
your Aston Martin.
The intro to your Aston Martin.
Oh, yes. When you went full James Bond.
Yeah. But the camera work and the edit and everything was like on another level that I haven't seen from you.
It was not. That I cannot take credit for.
Okay.
That was Louis at Wave. Absolute hero.
Yeah.
And he did me a deal on that as well. So he's a legend for sorting that out. But yeah, no, obviously that was a load of effort. And that video didn't make financial sense for me to make. I think I spent a silly amount of money on the first 90 seconds of that video.
Yeah.
But like I uploaded it. And even though it didn't do that well views-wise, I uploaded it and I was like, proud of that video.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'll look back on that one and I was like, you know, that was really creative, and that was something that I enjoyed making and I was proud to share, you know?
And you know what? Even though the video hasn't done massive views, I mean, what view count is it on roughly now?
Just, I think it's around 100K.
Okay. Even though it's not done like massive views in terms of like the space that we work in, that's not to say that in like 2 or 3 years, it gets picked up on Reddit and then it'll blow up again. And then you can be proud of it again and be like, yes, it's got the views that it's deserved now.
Well, maybe, but I'll be proud of it. I was proud of it. I was genuinely just proud of it just to be up and either way, you know, whether it does a million views in 10 years or whether it stays the same, I get to watch that video when I'm 40 years old. And that's why
did you pick out the number 40?
Because that's just when I would sort of draw the line.
Retire.
You might as well roll over dead.
Yeah. Sometimes I do feel like it, Rory.
That's when I think I'll buy my first walking stick.
Yeah. No, just give me a hip replacement, please. Right, we're going to move on the podcast to our last segment, which is Keep or Quit. And the subject line is mortgage savings. Keep or quit. And this is from Niall Walker. And Niall says, this will all make sense in a minute. Hey guys, I'm in need of some car advice or a humbling, and I'm turning to you, probably against my better judgment. So here's the situation. I recently found myself with an unexpected opportunity at work. I've been buying company stock, which they match and even throw in some extra rewards. Long story short, I've now built up a solid amount. This has been set up to be my house deposit. However, despite 2 years of investing, I am still a good bit off from ever actually owning a home. Now, you might not know this, but Ireland has a horrendous housing crisis. Despite making a decent few quid, I'm still living at home with the family. Buying a house here is no small feat. I'd likely need a partner for a mortgage, and renting just feels like throwing money away, especially since I only commute to Dublin twice a week. And even then, I need to borrow my mum's EV for the free charging perks. Here's where the madness comes in. I currently have a lovely Mark 7.5 Golf GTI, which I absolutely adore, but I've no intention of selling it, so I had the sinister idea of putting the house deposit cash towards my dream car, a Mitsubishi Evo. As I would be able to live a childhood dream while also having a car where, all going well, I won't lose too much money on. The only issue? Insurance, aka the crack police, might have a meltdown, and my parents probably wouldn't be thrilled either. So, should I potentially sacrifice my mortgage savings to afford a fast appreciating dream car? Am I mad, or is there some logic to this? Would love to hear your thoughts, and thanks for all the fun podcasts and keeping me sane during my commutes. And that is from Niall. So, Rory, I think you and I are going to have conflicting arguments here.
Okay.
So why don't you get us started? Should Niall buy his dream car, sack off the savings, and hope that that dream car, A, he'll have a lot of fun with, and B, it will appreciate?
Yes.
And then he can sell it and get the mortgage?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're very much live for the now.
Yeah, my attitude with life is always live for the now. Yeah. Don't really plan for the future at all. The problem is, I have been looking at trying to buy a house and stuff like that, but just the interest rates at the moment and everything just seems so unstable in the world. Like having a solid asset just seems to be the better move at the moment. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're buying a house on a mortgage, and by the sounds of it, probably be putting quite a lot on the mortgage, although it is yours, as everyone likes to say, it's not really yours, is it? It's mostly the bank's. Whereas if you could buy the Mitsubishi, and yes, I would say a lot of these cars are, especially the old Jap cars, are going up in value stupid amounts. Not only can you drive it around and enjoy it, this could be something that will just keep in the bank and you won't then spend the money on something else or fritter it away. So I would do it. If you're not in a rush to move out, and then as you said, you know, he might find a partner in that time where he can then get a mortgage with them, because yeah.
And they might be really rich.
And they might be, yeah. you might not need a mortgage. But yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? Do you just leave the money sitting in the bank? I wouldn't.
No, you certainly don't.
No, I wouldn't. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I'm a little bit more cautious.
Yeah.
So I would say go for the car, but there have to be some caveats. If you want to drive the car, you're at risk of crashing the car. You're at risk of it being stolen, damaging it, all of these kinds of variables that maybe you don't have any control of. So I would say if you want to buy it, and this sounds really dumb, put it in storage and then wait for the value to go up even more, because you'll have higher value it sounds stupid if you don't drive it.
What's the point?
I know exactly what's the point, but if you're thinking of it as a financial decision, it makes no sense to drive it.
That's what insurance is for, man.
Yeah, but the insurance is mentally high in there.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You'll probably be going up in the appreciation.
Yes, but he might actually be paying more for insurance on that because of Ireland than he would be for a mortgage.
Well, mortgage, you know what he should do then?
What?
Move from Ireland.
Okay, yeah.
There you go.
Our advice, move out of Ireland. Yeah.
But as long as the car's insured, what does it matter?
Yeah.
If it gets crashed, gets stolen, whatever, you know, it's...
But also, you know, I'm 40, I'm pretty old, I don't know if anyone's noticed. I would say as well, if you want to buy your dream car, wait until you can actually afford it properly a bit later in life, when you can afford everything, when you're super comfortable.
What if he gets hit by a bus tomorrow?
What, while he's in the car? Then he's written off the car.
Yeah, and but then at least he bought his dream car, though.
Yeah, but he got killed in it.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's better than being killed in your house.
I know. Jack, what about you? Have you got any opinions on this? Oh, are you looking for a house, or are you just pretty chill at home? You can say you're chilled at home. I didn't move out until I was 29.
Yeah, chilled at home at the minute, definitely. But I'm not sure. I think there's too many things it depends on. It depends on his age. It depends on whether he's buying the Evo outright. It depends on what exactly the rates are.
He's buying it outright.
But
yeah.
If he could buy it outright, I mean, I know what I would do. I'm not sure if I can give advice, but I know what I would do, and it would be to buy the car.
It would be to buy the car.
Yes, it would be to buy the car, because I think in like something like an Evo is clearly his dream car. Great choice, by the way. I personally think you're only as young as you are once. You're only as young as you are now. And you never know, in 5 years' time, you might have an accident, which means you can't enjoy your dream car again. Or there might be some factor, which means you can never buy it. Maybe the car's appreciated too much.
Yeah.
I think there's too many future variables that if you really are set on this car and you can afford it now, sacrifice the house deposit, especially, you know, as you say, the world is in a bit of an unstable sort of situation at the minute. So if it was me, I would sell the GTI, as good as that car sounds, by the way. But then I would put it in the dream.
Yeah.
Put it in the Evo.
And I think you can't put a price on those memories that you would get from that as well. Like going around, doing road trips in it.
I mean, and it's so practical. That's a daily car. You could drive that every day. Like an Evo, you could drive that every day.
Yeah, all right, okay.
You can't drive a house.
You can't drive
what? Oh, no, you can. It's called a caravan.
Wait, so are we recommending that we get it? A caravan.
He needs to get a caravan.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Don't get the Evo.
Buy the car, sack off the mortgage and live in a caravan. Get the Evo with a tow bar and buy a caravan. There you go. We sorted your life out.
Okay. It is so funny how my perspective of things and your perspective of things are so different from each other with that.
Yeah. I think that's because I've got to the age of 40 now where I haven't been hit by a bus yet. And I've been able to kind of grow at a steady rate. That means I can actually afford the stuff that I want.
But I don't think you would have, even at my age, I don't think you would have.
No, I wouldn't. I was not in that position.
Yeah, but you would have gone for the house.
Oh yeah, I would have gone for the house, yeah.
Yeah,
but I had a partner at the time and everything like that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, like, for me, I don't feel like I need everything right now.
I do think delayed gratification is important. Yeah. I do think that's important. I do think it's important to set yourself a goal and allow yourself to be excited about something in the future because you can't quite get it now. I do think that's important. But by the sounds of things, I think Niall's been saving up quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he's probably been thinking about this Evo for quite a long time.
Yeah.
So I think why not pull the trigger, you know?
There you go. So you need three things, Niall. You need the car, the bar, and the caravan. Job done. We've done well here, haven't we?
So going back to it, just for a second.
Yeah, go. Uh-huh.
Did you, so your 993.
Yes.
Your dream car.
Yeah.
Was there a sense when you bought that where you were like, oh, I'm so excited. And then it was just like, yeah, it's good.
It was everything I hoped it to be, but I was like, oh, I was so excited, but do I really need it? Like, okay. Will this actually make my life better? Or am I buying it to say that I've bought my dream car?
So I with the Aston,
yeah,
I love it. I really do love it. Like would not unsell it.
Yeah.
But there definitely was like you build it up so much in your head and then you get it.
The idea of it is always better.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if it is fantastic, I think what you imagine it to be, you're like, oh my God, this is going to be the best thing ever. What is owning this car going to be like? I'm going to be able to drive this thing every day. Like, this is going to be incredible. There's a sense you always get used to, like you will get used to it eventually.
Is that what you thought about your first Micra?
No, that thing was actually against that rule. Oh my God. That was fantastic. It went to the scrapyard though, unfortunately.
Oh man.
With the turbo in?
The turbo was sold for £500.
Nice.
There you go. A bit of recycling. So there you go, Niall. Some conflicting arguments there. I always kind of like tend to err on the side of caution. Roy clearly doesn't. And Jack as well, maybe doesn't as well.
Yeah.
So if you really love it, you know, maybe just live your life. Buy it and then hope that it appreciates. And then maybe in a few years, it'll be worth that house deposit that you want.
Or buy it and then sell it in 6 months.
Yeah. And hope that it's appreciated. Don't crash it.
It's not gonna It's not going to depreciate, is it?
If it gets crashed or nicked, it will.
No.
Actually, no, if it gets stolen, then you get more money.
Also, with the way currency's going and stuff like that at the moment, you kind of like, why do you think gold's going up so high? I don't know if you've looked at investing in things at the moment. Gold is the thing to get into at the moment because everyone's so afraid of currencies going up and down. So, yeah.
So what are we saying to Niall?
Don't have the money sitting in the bank, no.
Buy some gold.
Buy gold.
Buy four things.
What?
Add gold to the list. Put gold in the caravan. Let us know how you get on.
Get a gold Evo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. Poor Niall, we've really ruined his life. And that pretty much rounds out this podcast. I wanted to end with one more thing from you, if I may, Jack. Has there been a piece of advice that someone has given you in life about anything that you've always like remembered or listened to or thought, actually, that made a massive difference? I know I'm putting you on the spot. Or like, is there someone you look up to, like your dad or someone that you think, I want to be like that person because X, Y, Z.
I think persistence is key is a catchphrase my dad likes to coin. But yeah, I would say my dad is very inspirational to me. You know, he's done pretty well for himself, come from nothing. So I massively respect my dad and he's definitely pretty inspirational.
Wicked.
But yeah, I mean.
I like that though, persistence is key.
Yeah, persistence is key.
If you have a dream, be persistent. Don't let anyone ever say no to you.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, there you go. And with that, we're going to call it there, aren't we? How long have we been going for? An hour 22 is pretty good.
Yeah.
I want to say a massive thank you to Jack McNeil for joining us on the sofa. We've also got a video coming out with your Spicy Fox.
We do.
Which is exciting. And to everyone watching and listening, thank you very much for your support. We will see you and listen to you and shout at you and with your eyeballs and ear holes next week from us. Have a great week. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.